Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, recommendations can be great. Maybe someone recommended this podcast, and here you are. But home projects are different. If a podcast isn't your thing, you lose a few minutes. If you hire your cousin's neighbor to mount your TV, you might end up with a lopsided screen and wall damage. Maybe I know a guy just isn't enough for your home. That's why Thumbtack works. It matches you with top-rated local pros with photos, reviews, and credentials all in one place. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
Evening. Buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyer's rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana.
Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. Explore the mind of MLB All-Star, Silver Slugger, and Gold Glove winner, Brett Boone, as he sits down with his friends from the world of professional sports. Now up to bat, Brett Boone.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. I am Brett Boone, and today I'm joined by three guys that I chat with every week. It's on their show, though, 97.3 The Fan. It's the Ben and Wood Show. It's the number one ranked sports radio show in San Diego and has been for a while now. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we've got Ben Higgins, Stephen Woods, and Paul Reindl, my crew, every Wednesday morning. Guys, I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
This is an honor, Booney. Thank you for inviting us.
I feel wildly out of place right now. Unqualified.
I thought about it, and I just thought, you know, don't embarrass me. Not so much Ben and Paul. It's just Woodsy. Don't embarrass me. You know, come on. You get this kind of illustrious invite, and no, I'm kidding, guys. I love doing the show Wednesdays. Obviously, we do it every week, and it's fun, and you guys make it fun, and that's why I wanted a chance to kind of put you on my show. So, all right, opening topic, and I texted Paul last night just to make sure you guys were watching, because I do not watch, and as everybody knows, all my buddies know, I'm not a fan of anything. I'm a fan of sport. Okay, I'm a fan of sport. I don't have a favorite baseball team, of course. I have to cheer for a few teams really silently. But lately I've been going on all the shows, and the first question is, before we get to baseball, is, hey, you've been watching the World Cup? Mm-hmm. My answer every time is absolutely not. but I hear USA's doing really well. And of course, living in this country, just like when the hockey team wins, love hockey players, love them. When they're winning, when they won the Olympic gold, it's like, this is pretty awesome. It's a proud moment. But I don't watch hockey. I respect the heck out of the hockey player. I think they're the toughest athletes, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But I just want, okay, let's start with Ben. Give me your level of interest in this cup. What have you seen? And I did tune into the second half yesterday because I knew we were having this show today, and I watched. And I was disappointed. I had my soccer buddies, and I have soccer buddies. We're on a text thread. I laugh at them. I say, soccer's not a real sport, which obviously I'm kidding. But they said, Brett, this is the worst half you could have watched. We don't even want to watch anymore with what's going on out there. Give me the whole take, what you've seen in this whole tourney, Ben.
Well, first, Booney, I've got bad news for you. It's not like baseball where you can lose one game in the World Series and still come back and win the whole thing. It's right. Over for the United States. They're done, single elimination. So I think you know, we don't know soccer well enough to analyze the X's and O's, but I don't think you need to know much more than being an athlete to know that our team played timidly and came out with a performance that wasn't nearly as good as we had seen in the group stage and the earlier matches that they had won. So I was disappointed as a casual fan watching the soccer. It was just not what I thought it was going to be. Now, as for watching the Cup, it's a cultural thing right now. I mean, you go to any bar and restaurant here in San Diego. I'm sure it's the same across the country. People are spilling out the doors. It's something people want to do together, experience it all. It happens once every 4 years. It's like the Olympics on steroids a little bit because everybody around the world just cares so much. How do you not get caught up in something that you feel like every single person around the world is kind of watching? You kind of have to get on board.
And it's true, because my wife tells me, you know, Brett, it's the most popular sport in the world. And I do know that. I mean, from a world USA, no, but worldwide definitely is. It's just, I played soccer as a kid. I loved it. I got kind of, my buddies kind of guilted me into playing football because, you know, they said I'm a wuss and how can you play soccer, Brett? And deep down, I'm going, I love soccer. And it made me quit and play peewee football and it ended up being all good, but I loved it. But watching it, I don't know. I watched them. They had a hydration break yesterday.
Yep,
who has a hydration break? Are we getting that soft?
Yeah, I've seen some of the soccer purists getting upset about that as well. Listen, I grew up in Texas, Booney, and I was not tough enough to play football back in Texas. But I remember actively, like, coaches withholding water. I remember them being like, you don't get any water till we're, you know, and it's 104 degrees. I've come a long way on hydration, to be honest with you. I say more hydration, the better. I promote hydration.
Every inning is a hydration break in baseball.
Every inning.
You got one every single half inning.
It's true.
Yeah, but then again, that's why they have substitutions. You can go get an orange slice and some hydration.
It's crazy though, because I was always like you, Booney. I was like, I just can't do it, man. And all my buddies, you know, my Euro trash buddies, they just loved soccer and they just jammed it down my throat. And I'd watch it and I'm like, guys, I'm falling asleep. But then they're like, yeah, but you watch 162 baseball games a year. I'm like, yeah, plus spring training, plus the playoffs, plus the World Series. They're like, that's
plus
not
fantasy boring. Camp. Plus fantasy camp.
And I go, yeah, it's not boring if you're, you know, intelligent and you can follow along and you know the game within the game. And they said, it's the same thing in soccer, dude. And they started to explain it to me in a way. And I went, oh, yeah, you're right. There is an art form to this. And then when we got a team here, SDFC, I was like, I'll give it a shot. And I really started to dig these guys. And we went to a game and it was incredible. My kids loved it. And so, yeah, I've come a long way on it. I've enjoyed this World Cup tremendously. I've found myself appointment viewing, like running home to watch games, which is so rare for me.
Paulie, what do you think? You know what I noticed right away, Paulie?
Yeah.
Because the NBA's gotten to a point, and I can't stand the flop. I guess every sport, you know, we pretend sure. like we're hurt more than we really are sometimes. Sure. I used to do it when I got hit by a pitch, but I had a different reason. There was a method to my madness. Not because I was hurt. I wanted sympathy from the pitcher. I wanted to set up the next at bat to make sure he wouldn't throw me a fastball in. Now it becomes predictable. With the replay, you can't really fake it if you didn't get hurt. Back then, we had to sell it. The flop, it seems like, and I this is how crazy I watch these guys and I watch them fall, and it's always they're holding their ankle or something. Yep,
the knee.
I went to Grok and I said, Grok, you know, the AI, and I said, is flopping really this prevalent in soccer? And then the guy started getting funny with me, the Grok guy, and he's like, well, absolutely. They seem like they get shot by a howitzer when they go down. I thought that was funny. I just wanted to see if the flop was really a thing. Paulie, your take on the World Cup soccer as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, the flop, it's still there. It still exists. I think for me, I have no shame in admitting out of the three of us, I'm the most casual of soccer fans. It's probably the nicest way to put it. My interest in soccer in general is like a 3 or 4 on a scale of 1 to 10. Having said that, the World Cup has been a phenomenal tournament this year. And I've had friends say, like, this year in particular, this year's tournament has been unbelievable. There's been penalty kicks and feels like half the games. And for me, because I don't really obviously you have Team USA as your dog in the fight and they're eliminated now. But even throughout the tournament, Brett, because I'm not super attached to soccer, I found myself just watching the game still and rooting for Cape Verde and Norway and Team Mexico, like falling in love with the storylines. And maybe it's an underdog, or, you know, this country would really love it and appreciate it. It means so much to them. So I get myself involved that way. But ultimately, you know, I'll pretend to care again in 4 years.
Well, you know what I thought was cool, though, and I did, and it was in Seattle yesterday, the game, the U.S. game. The level of passion that the fans have is unbelievable. And as much as soccer is not my game, I watched them in the crowd yesterday. USA head to toe. They had, I don't know how they got the drums in the ballpark. I guess you're allowed to bring drums. But I mean, these guys, like, and I was kind of a little bit envious. Like, that would be really cool being on that field right now. Because when you play this game, when you play whatever particular game you play, mine was baseball, you can't. I didn't care whether it was a hostile crowd, a crowd pulling for me, just the energy and the passion coming from the fan that fuels you as a player is like, well, you know, I'm in foreign territory here. Maybe I'm the enemy today, but the level of the fan interact, it makes you feel so alive. Like, wow, I'm hated right now, but I love how much these fans are into it. And I was a little bit envious watching that yesterday. I thought it was really cool.
I will admit that soccer fans work a lot harder than baseball fans.
They do. And I'm glad, though.
They're standing and chanting the whole game. It's honestly exhausting to watch them.
We got 162 of these.
With the drums and the songs. Like, I'm a baseball fan. I'm going to eat 2.5 hot dogs and have a beer and maybe pay attention a little bit and sometimes stop paying attention and just have a conversation with my buddy. That doesn't go on at these soccer games.
There's no conversations. Here on the West Coast, people will wake up at 4 a.m. and be at a bar by 5 a.m. for a match to start.
They might not sell anything at the concession stands at soccer games. You don't have any time to eat anything. You're cheering the entire time.
Yep.
But hey, that's the reason it's the number one sport in the world, because these fans are there. You got to be a little cuckoo. But if I'm in that particular sport, I love it. Do you think because the USA did well and going into this tournament, they weren't even close to a favorite, but as good well as they did, do you think that was the reason it's been so big? This particular World Cup is because US was exceeding expectations.
Honestly, I think this is one of those cases, Booney, where the U.S. does not, not that they don't factor in, but obviously host country and things like that, that's important. But honestly, like, what I've come to realize is how important it is to the other communities, the other countries, like Paulie mentioned, Cape Verde, things like that. Those are the stories that get you. You know, we want to be the best at everything in the United States, and oftentimes we think we are the best at everything, but it's a good reminder that we got a lot of work to do, right? We got a lot of work to do. And I think it's important to know that, like, now you're asking Padres fans this, right? Like, hey, did we do good, well enough? You're like, hey, we did pretty well. Made it to the, sweet 16, I guess, of the tournament. Well done, U.S. That's beyond my expectation for this team based on how my buddies have talked about the U.S. men's team for years. So I don't know, man. I thought good tournament overall, but this is kind of what we've come to expect. Nothing shocking.
You think the majority of the fans, like in the United States, will they go back to being like Paul and myself? Like, yeah. All right, we'll see you in 4 years, or will it add it? Will it add a jolt to U.S. soccer?
I think a majority will, right? I think MLS has done a lot of good, especially here in San Diego for guys like me, more likely to tune in on a Saturday night to watch an MLS game.
Until the USA breaks through in the World Cup and gets to a couple more rounds further, I think that would captivate the country more. But until that happens, I think it's going to be the hardcore, the diehards. And then I think, the majority will go back to.
How many people are really bigger minor league baseball fans than they are major league baseball fans? And in soccer, the major leagues are played in Europe.
Right.
And if you want to watch a major leagues, you know, baseball game, the soccer equivalent, you got to wake up at 4 a.m. on the West Coast here and watch it on television, and, or travel thousands of miles across the Atlantic to go see one of the top teams play. So I think that's always going to limit us here in this country. We know we're not cheering for the very best version of the product, where in baseball and basketball and football, we're absolutely cheering for the best version of the product. And that's really never going to be the case in soccer. It's always going to be in Europe and some of the other countries that have the best version of soccer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true. And it is a cultural thing. I mean, when you're a kid and you grow up in Europe, your first Christmas, you probably get a soccer ball under the
tree. No question.
Whereas in Canada, you probably get a hockey stick.
Yep.
And in America, you're either going to get a football, a baseball, maybe a basketball. But you're right. It is culture. And that's what they grew up doing. That's what they love. Japan. You're going to get a baseball bat.
Yep.
You're going to get a glove for your first, you know, for your first holiday. So
yeah, I'll tell you, Booney, you got to get the soccer is great. And so many kids play it, but we got to get the soccer field. You got to get the soccer players off the baseball fields, because as a coach, every time I go to have a practice or a game, I got to move, they're literally renting out the outfield. I'm not joking. I went to book a field the other day and they said, yeah, you can have the infield. And I go, guys, this is for a scrimmage. And I said, what's going on in the outfield? They said, that's a separate fee. I go, what's that for? They go, oh, it's for soccer. I go, it's a baseball diamond. Like, you're telling me I can play a scrimmage on the dirt and the dirt only. That's it. Everyone talks about youth sports, Booney, and the number one problem for youth sports, they always say, is the parents. It's not. It's the field space. Field space. You can't teach these kids baseball. Why? There's nowhere to teach them.
Teach them on the left side of the infield.
Left side of the whole, yeah. I'm supposed to play a scrimmage on just the dirt, and the ball could, you know, if my son gets a hold of one, hits it in the gap, it's going to hit a bunch of six-year-olds playing soccer out there. So it's maddening. So I love soccer. Get your own space.
All right. This goes to a wider sub. And I mentioned the flopping earlier, but I'm talking, you guys do this 5 days a week. You cover all sports. And it's like, when you look at sports today, and I'm not going to sit here, oh, I was, my guys, we were so tough. But I look across, you hear, and maybe this is a generational thing. I'm sure my grandpa said this about dad. I'm sure dad said this about me. You guys are soft. You're weak. And I do think as time goes on, we do get weaker. And I think dad was tougher than me. And I think Grandpa Ray was tougher than dad. I really do. You know, you grow up in the Great Depression. You tend to be a little tougher than your sibling, or I'm sorry, than your offspring. But sports as a whole, when you go to the NFL, quarterback after quarterback. I never played it down in the NFL, but you see these quarterbacks, it's so much easier to pass today. Why? Because of the rules. Because of going across the middle, there's less rules and there's a bigger spot to throw it. I hear that in the NFL. In the NBA, you hear those guys from back in the day, those Detroit Pistons, you see them interviewed, the way they broke down other teams and just beat them up. You can't do that in the NBA. Baseball, my sport, you can't take runners out at second anymore. You can't blast the catcher, which was a big part of the game. I remember when they took that away, my dad kind of being an old school guy, because, well, that was half my job, being good at that. You know,
yeah.
I understand the money in the game, the finances, these owners, I understand you want to protect your product, but do you think the game is getting softer and are we going to continue to go down this road as future generations does? There's going to be more rules and more regulations to keep everybody safe. Meanwhile, my sport, baseball, there are more injuries, and I don't know statistically, but just watching, and the feel I get is there are so many injuries, I can't even keep up. Every day, somebody's going down. 10-day IL. So it seems like the rules are getting stricter to protect the players. But across the board in every sport, it seems like everybody gets hurt a ton more. Where am I wrong?
Nobody's protecting. You know, I always think about pitchers. And as a coach, it's something I have to. We're just now getting into the kid pitch, right? And I have to protect these kids' arms. It's my duty to do so. And I take it very, very seriously. And, you know, chasing some $5 plastic ring on a weekend up in Riverside, you know, playing, my kids playing 6 games in 3 days or 6 games in 2 days, it has no interest to me. My job is to teach them the game and protect their arms. And I just saw a tweet come out today. Game Changer is an app that a lot of coaches and parents use, and you can track the data. And so they can go in and find, hey, in these kids, this age group are throwing this many pitches. One kid, 12 years old, threw 145 pitches on Friday, threw 70 pitches on Saturday, had one day of rest, and then threw 60 pitches in the championship on Monday. Oof. He's 12 years old. I wonder why his arm's done at 17. You know, the chasing velo is a big thing too. As far as it goes, like football, basketball, like you said it, Booney, right when you were asking the question. It's all about money. And if I'm an owner, I want rules to protect my players. As a viewer, do I miss guys getting blown up at home plate? Yeah, I do. I miss it. I don't miss the takeout slot, like the one that Flan always shows me, Tim Flannery, former Padres second baseman. I mean, he shows me when he's getting killed. And I'm like, Flan, I don't want that for...
That'd be assault now.
I don't want that for Xander. You know, I don't want that for the guy sliding into him. I mean, I'd like you to have a long career. But blowing up the catcher, I always liked. I always thought it was great. And it was like, you have all this gear on. He has a shot to take you out.
Woodsy, that's the one thing I do hate the most at all. Like, because you know what? I've come around on a lot of the modern game. It seems like every couple of years we have a new rules being implemented. Yep. And of course, at first I always say, oh, that's not going to work. I've been pleasantly surprised at the rules changes in the game of baseball. I think a lot of them, for the most part, that I questioned at first or was a little bit skeptical of, more times than not, I'm going, I was wrong. And it is better for the game.
Yeah.
But taking out the runner at second base, Woodsy,
you miss that?
That is my bread and butter. That is what we could hang our hat on as a second baseman. It's like anybody, any shortstop can move over to second base physically, talent-wise, and play the game at second base. It's almost an insult to a shortstop to put him at second.
Sure.
But where I made my money and earned my stripes was that game on the line. You know, pick somebody. Albert Bell coming in and wanting to knock me into left field and me hanging in there, turning it right in his face, flipping up in the air, don't get hurt, and just laugh at them. Like, if I do this correctly, cannot hurt me. And that's where we hung our hat. That's what separated the good and the great second basemen, the guys that could turn it with somebody in your face. Nowadays, anybody can turn a double play. I can put a left fielder at second.
Oh, yeah. No question.
You can't run into me. So, yeah.
We have a right fielder at second base here. So, right. Yeah.
Personally, I'm offended by the rule.
But I don't think – I disagree, Booney, that today's players are softer. I know why people have that perception. But – what did John Kruk used to say? You can't pull fat. The guys train so much now because to get noticed, you really have to be an athlete. There's a couple of exceptions of guys who are still a little hefty, but for the most part, aren't guys now in so much better shape than even the guys you played with? Certainly the guys your dad and your grandpa played with. And with all that training and all that speed that they unleash out there, the strength, it's going to come with more muscle injuries, you know, but you have to get that in that shape to be able to excel on the major league level. With pitching, it's obvious. You don't even get noticed unless you throw high 90s anymore. But to throw high 90s, you have to put your arm in incredible risk throughout your entire life to build it up, to get to that level, to maintain that level. You are, of course, going to get more injuries, but it's because you're training harder, training longer, doing more to get to that level. That's not soft. That's hard work. That's much more work that they're putting in the gym than guys ever did 50, 60 years ago. But that is also leading to more injuries and the pulls and the strains that you see from players on a constant basis now.
We're trading all of that toughness from previous generations into still like the top, the most elite of the sport that we've ever seen. I mean, back in the 90s, they may have been tougher and they may have had to collide at home plate, but you also didn't have to see Mason Miller's 103-mile-an-hour fastball in the ninth inning every night, or Jacob Mizorowski. Like, if you picked him up and plopped him into 1992, guys would be tripping all over themselves. Like, who is this guy?
Freak.
You know, Shohei Ohtani, we've never seen a two-way player. Like, he's all by himself. Right. But that's going to come with more injuries. And, you know, I think with pitchers in particular, for me, I was a high school coach not too long ago, and all of these kids are already entering high school on 2 to 3 club teams now. It used to be, at least, you know, back in my day, it was you played baseball during baseball season, then you played soccer during soccer season, and during the winter you'd play basketball during the basketball season. All of these kids, not all of them, but so many of them nowadays, Booney, they're on multiple travel teams and select club teams, and they have their own personal hitting coach and their own personal pitching coach, and they're performing all year long. And I would have to have conversations with kids, you know, maybe it's the high school season now, it's, you know, April or whatever of the year. Hey, I don't want to hear one word about your club team. This, it's school season, you're on the school team, but they have so many obligations now, these kids do.
Yeah.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
I can't sit here and from the day I stepped in the big leagues, when I started, to modern day, to sit here and say it's the same, that would be an ignorant statement. You know, it would be like, and for me, it just is a generation thing for me. When my grandpa used to say, oh, who's this Randy Johnson guy? It's like, he's pretty good. He's pretty good, Gramps. He's nothing compared to Bob Feller. And I'm like, sure. Gramps, get out of the time warp. So I promised I would never be that get off my lawn guy, and I'm not. Now, I have my arguments with today and the culture and the way some of these kids are brought up.
Yep.
Because I don't agree with everything, how it's being taught. I think there's a lot of... There's some things, the way they're brought up, that's a detriment, I think, to the modern day athlete. That being said, I agree with you across the board. The athletes are definitely, on average, getting better, without a doubt. To sit there and say, yeah, I think the gun and the numbers and the velocity is a little bit for entertainment value, and I think it's beefed up a little bit. That being said, across the board, I'd be lying if I sat there and said, in 1997, in the middle of my career, across the board, on average, they were throwing just as hard as they are now. That's nonsense. The sliders are a little harder. They're not up as much as the numbers say, but they're definitely up. And in 2050, these guys playing today, their kids are going to be coming up saying, Dad, oh, Shohei Ohtani wasn't that great.
Right.
Because there's going to be four more, and you're going to go, wait a minute, kid, you had to be here. He was the pioneer of this movement. So I think we just have to be rational about things. And I laugh at some of my generation when they sit there and say, no, everybody in 1994, even 2003, were throwing just as hard across the board as they are now. No, they're not. Guys were going 6, 7, 8 innings starters. Yep. They were expected. There weren't the finances that are put into the bullpens nowadays weren't a thing. You had your closer, your setup men in my generation, which was starting to be a thing. Now teams build teams, and San Diego Padres, they build teams. They put monies into the bullpen. That's a thing. Back in the day, it wasn't a thing. You spent a little, you spent all your money on your hitters and your starting pitchers. What was ever left over, you threw into the bullpen. Now they're throwing money in the bullpen. So I think, and look at the NFL. I look at the NBA. I love the 80s. I love the 76ers and the Celtics with Larry Bird and Showtime with Magic John. It's the greatest. But as far as the athletes there versus the athletes now,
wildly different.
Right. You can say the game was better back then. That could be your bias. But to say the athlete is not as good, that's ridiculous.
I promise, even the great Larry Bird would lose his mind at a guy like Wembanyama, who's 7'6", can dribble the ball like a point guard and shoot a three like anybody else in the league.
Absolutely.
And I think it's the same, though. You could put Larry Bird in the modern NBA, be fine. You could put Jordan in the modern NBA.
Absolutely.
You could put those guys back. You put Roy Halladay today, he's going to be fine. You know, Randy Johnson's going to be beyond electric still. It's an argument that will never be won, and I think that's why we love arguing it.
Give all those guys the modern advantages, training techniques. They'd all be still Hall of Famers. They'd probably be even better than they were in their actual career.
I've asked this question before, Booney, but the one thing I've heard from a lot of the old school baseball players, and we'll stick to baseball for this question, but I hear stories. I won't name names, but after games. So we play the Giants. We won 3-1. So game ends at 10:30, 11. We go in. We drink 13, 14 beers each. And just to kind of come down from the game, the high of the game, you know, wives would drive us home. We'd wake up. We'd do it again. And we did that 162 days a year. And I'm like, how's this possible? Like how did they live the lifestyle that they lived? I'm not saying your day, but maybe even right before your day of hard partying, hard charging. I don't feel like anybody does that these. And I'm trying to think of a player that has 9 beers after a game right now. I can't think of one. Maybe Kyle Schwarber, maybe.
Being back in uniform a year ago with Texas, you know, and working with these players and the young men, sometimes I tell them, listen, you're hitting 212. You might want to go out and have a few beers tonight. And they looked at me like, well, that would mess up my REM sleep.
Right.
Which is today's player. And I think I laugh at that. I think it's for the better. I really do. I think there's several things that come up, the reason. First of all, social media and this phone that we have. And as a modern day athlete, you can't go anywhere. You can't go back in the day, we say, go let your hair down and just have a night and, you know, blow it out. You can't do that anymore as a modern day athlete because of the cell phones. So the guys tend to go home and play video games. You know, there's still guys on the charter flights. Guys will have a few beers, but you're right, Woodsy. It was a thing back in the day. My generation, decent amount of it. The generation before, I remember growing up, and it was normal for every player to be drinking beers after every single game.
Yeah.
And then, let alone my grandpa's generation, where they were taking trains. And I heard the stories back then where, you know, 3/4 of the team probably had a drinking problem. But that was that generation. And that it's time. Just different. So I think that player you referred to, whoever. Yeah, I think that's accurate. Maybe the wife didn't actually drive them home. They drove themselves home. But other than that, the story is probably right. All right. This is it's a thing we do every year. Ben's probably the smartest one of the three of you because he doesn't partake. But the fantasy camp, and it's something we talk about, we joke about. I've been a part of a couple. I know Paul and Ben, this is your Pebble Beach. This is your U.S. Open. This is your World Series. I love it. Because as a coach, when I remember they first asked me, I'm like, I'm going to go watch a bunch of knuckleheads go.
I remember.
Live out. I was going to say, does your audience need to know what fantasy camp is?
Well, we could explain. You want to explain a little different? You are.
Sure. We've been Woodsy and I have been invited here with the San Diego Padres. They started. They restarted fantasy camp every January. Cost about $6,000, I think, for the week, and it is the ultimate MLB fan experience. You get to be an MLB player for a week. You get your own locker in the Major League clubhouse. They have the training staff. The Major League trainers are there to work out any massage you may need, any ailments you got. It's great. You're on the Major League fields. Former alumni, guys like Trevor Hoffman, Brett Boone are your coaches. It's the best week of the year. We look forward to it every year. We've kind of helped grow it from 21 players the first year to over 100 this last year. And Booney's been out there a few years with us.
Well, awesome. I just remember when Booney showed up, you could see the disdain in his eyes when he looked around. And then by the end of camp,
he was a snob, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were.
Average age of the camper is 55, I'd say.
Yeah. It was a lot more fun when there were only 21 guys because I really dominated them. And every year, players get better. I get older. And I really know what it's like to be an aging vet now. Like, now I'm like, I can't hit these young guys anymore like I used to. And you got guys like McGarity out there, former minor leaguer, out there throwing darts and sliders and changeups. I'm like, this wasn't here 5-6 years ago.
It's one of those things, like, even in your mid to 30s, you play a doubleheader at fantasy camp and you've been wearing cleats all day.
You're done.
And then you go out to dinner and you finally get home at like 7 o'clock and you're like, I can barely get up the stairs.
I want to die.
And it just, you know that the major leaguers, you can't even imagine the strain that they're putting on their bodies and how difficult it is for them. And we always like to be, as fans, oh, it must be real hard to get on that, you know, private jet and go stay at the Four Seasons everywhere. But like, play a doubleheader every day for 5 or 6 days. Bro. It'll give you just a taste of what those guys are going through in the majors.
And then you guys got to do your show. You're doing your show every morning.
Every morning.
And then Ben's sitting there laughing at you because you got your hammy wrapped. And Ben's going, well, I got the rest of the day off. I got to
go play golf.
I go play golf. I like the spring training lifestyle without the baseball.
Yeah.
Eat at the training table.
Yep.
Watch about an inning or two and then head to the golf course.
That's right.
That's how I like to do it.
Yeah, he really does it right.
I'll tell you what, I did go into it, and you're right. It's not that I felt disdain. That's funny.
Booty had I could disdain. See it in your face.
But I did kind of get guilted into it. So, you know, it's been years, and I've been asked to go to fantasy camp. I'm like, fantasy camp, come on. Anyway, I get there. It helps that we have a great group that I've done it with, the Padres. At first, I was laughing. I go, you know, I was a Padre for 1 year, and I think we finished third or fourth. I'm not exactly this celebrated alumni with 7 great years with a, you know, all-star and going to World Series. But nevertheless, some buddies of mine do the fantasy camp. And they're, Booney, you should try it. And I came out. And I went in with a good attitude, kind of.
Come on.
I'll tell you what. I had a wonderful time every time I've done it.
Yep.
It's because you watch guys like you and you can see how much you really love it. And these guys, Paulie set it up great. I mean, they give you the big league experience. You got a big league uni. You're in a big league locker room. You got the trainers at your disposal, just like the bit. You got a spread every day and you get to go out and play. And at first I thought, you know, it's kind of a goofy thing. Once I got into it and watched the looks on these guys' face that this is their life and this was their dream that they didn't get. I got to live out my dream as a baseball player.
Yep.
Well, it was a job, but it was my dream. This is what these guys wanted to do.
No doubt.
And to watch them, how much they really care day after day after day. It really becomes a cool thing. And I didn't think, you know, I didn't think that I was that weak and that big of a wimp, but it's really cool for me to watch these guys go through it and how much they enjoy it. And I give them a hard time. You know, you haven't been on my team, but I give my guys a hard time every day. I am busting their, you know what? But it's cool. And a couple of years ago, I think I went undefeated.
Yeah.
I went undefeated a couple of years ago. And these guys really felt for a moment they had won it all.
Correct.
And, and I'm going, this is the greatest thing in the world. And,
I lost the championship. Really cool. I wanted to die last year. I lost the championship game. I wanted to die.
Tell me if this is not true since you guys have played. Good natured razzing from a former big leaguer
is the best thing
ever. Is the highlight of your life.
It's the highlight.
Every single year, no doubt. That's what these guys love.
I live for it.
They love when they hear Trevor Hoffman go, on, throw a strike, Woods. They love it more than anything.
I'm like public enemy number one out there. Oh, Those guys crush me.
I've got to be careful with Woodsy because
I'll snap.
He's really sensitive to this. Like he really cares because he's got to report to you on the air.
Yep.
Everybody knows. And the thing about it is, Paul and Woodsy are two of the best players there. It's just Paulie has the ability to kind of separate and just go play. And Woodsy's like, feels like the whole world is watching every move he makes and he's got to be really good. And that's why I take it easy on Woodsy. Cause I know he's like, Booney, did that swing look right? Woods.
Yeah.
That looked like a horrible swing.
Just terrible.
Really affect him tonight.
It's amazing how
I gotta be careful how tough I am on
meaningless baseball games involving 60 something year olds define his self worth for 1 week every single year.
It really does. If I have a good camp, I'm like on a high for the whole. It sets me up for the whole year.
Yeah, mid January,
come home flying. I hit 750. And if I hit below 500, I'm done.
No,
that's it.
And we're awful. We're gracious with those numbers, by the way.
I know.
They're almost like little league hits. So you
some of them are.
500.
Yeah, you have to.
But you weren't there the second year. We had Trevor Hoffman was watching one of the games, and Woodsy was pitching. I was playing shortstop, I think, behind him, and you let a couple get away. And Trevor Hoffman,
had a catcher that had never caught before.
True.
Never. He never caught, and he decided this is when I want to catch.
Hey, it's his fantasy camp too.
Fantasy camp too, and I'm throwing balls. I'm throwing balls down the middle. He's boxing them.
Trevor Hoffman sitting there on like the first baseline, going, "Can you throw one strike, Woodsy? Just one.
I'll give you $100.
Right. Ball in the dirt." He goes, "I guarantee you, this next one will not be a strike." Ball in the dirt.
You throw the changeup, Woodsy. I bet you won't throw that for
him. Trevor Hoffman, Hall of Famer, took out his wallet, put a $100 bill on the ground. He goes, "I'll give you $100 if you can throw a strike on this next pitch." Where'd it go?
Right in the dirt. And then, so I get out of the inning, finally.
You hit the Durham Bull.
Yeah, I get out of the inning, I walk over, and he goes, "Now do that with 40,000 people all screaming at you." Yes. And he goes, "I better never hear you say another word again." I go, "All right, deal. I won't say another word."
I think you're right, though. I referenced the Pebble Beach trip, and that's my fantasy camp that you guys go through. Like, I can play a typical round on a Wednesday here at home and whatever I shoot. I don't get angry if I don't have a good round. I go to Pebble for my trip that we do every year. We've been doing it for 30 years. I'm grinding.
100%.
I'm putting in the freaking hotel. Night. I'm watching the Golf Channel trying to get tips. And I'm telling you, if I don't play good, it really affects me. Like, damn it. I've been waiting all year. I love this place. I love where I'm at. So I know kind of what you're going through.
Bro, Chris Gomez and Archie Sanfranco last year. We had a doubleheader. I think I got picked off four times. I'm not kidding. I was just trying to make something happen. I was like, if I don't score, we're going to lose. So I'd take these huge leads. Guy would wheel on me, get me. And they're like, "Woodsy, what are you doing? What's your problem?" Booney, I wanted to dig a hole. Like, I wanted to dig a hole and crawl in it. And we won and I played well, but I was like, "Bro, you just got picked off four times in two games."
My team had already finished. I was waiting for you in the cafeteria line, and Arky Sinfraco comes up to me and he just puts his hand on my shoulder and he goes, "You got to talk to your boy.
"I
think he got picked off four times in one game."
In the doubleheader, like an idiot.
You got picked off by four times in a game with it. Some of these players, it's not like we're playing a talented level game here. You got a few guys here and there.
It's true.
Ben, do you see it truly in Woods's work after he comes home from a fantasy camp and he had a rough one? He really wears it for a while. How long is it before it wears off?
Oh, weeks. It affects him for weeks. They put so much of themselves into that week. that if he doesn't play well, I can tell on the show, like it affects his mood, Booney.
Booney, yeah. I got to tell you, I played a game on Father's Day, and I wanted to tell you about this. And I talked about it on the air. I think it's the single worst baseball game that a human has ever played. Ever. And it was on Father's Day. And my wife goes, if you want to play on Father's Day, go play with your friends. 35 and over league. All right. Go out. I drive all the way to Otay Mesa. It's 45 miles from my house. I drive out there. My kids are like, oh, all right, Dad. See you later. My wife said, do you want us to come? I go, no. If you guys stay, it's a long drive. I get out there, Booney. I get punched 3 times. I drop a foul pop. I had a ground ball go right through my legs at third, and I played one off the hip at third. I had 3 errors, 3 punches, and I drove home. It was Father's Day, and I was like, you're the worst father of all time for leaving your kids. Number two, it's time to hang them up. You suck so bad. I just thought about it, but I came in the next day, and I go, I'm no longer qualified to ever criticize a big leaguer again for an error. You know, never. Like, it's just the hardest game known to man. And I've been playing it my whole life. I didn't put any work in that week. I didn't hit off the tee. And I was surprised about these results. And I just go, man, it's such a good lesson. I told my little leaguers about it. I said, I didn't put in any work. How can I even be mad? Like, I did not work at it at all. I just expected to roll out of bed and go out there and be able to perform. And man, it opened my eyes. And I've been a little bit more reluctant to rip on, you know, a guy that boots one out at second base because it's just the hardest game, man.
Yeah, but come on, you can still get on that guy. He makes a lot of money to boot that ball.
That's true.
When you make that kind of money, when we sign on the dotted line for what we do, you gotta be able to take criticism. If not, it's not the lifestyle for you. So
for sure,
that's one thing. Okay, our wheelhouse, and I'm sure we'll talk about this tomorrow on the Ben and Wood show. But Padres have had a rough stint. How you guys holding up? I think they've lost 9 out of 10.
Yep.
Bueller, who is doing a great job for us, has back-to-back the 2 worst outings of the year. I think he gave up 16 runs in 9 innings. It's just injuries all across the board. Dodgers look as advertised.
Yep.
You know, so the division, I think
we
locked the division out a while ago. This is just going to be a small segment, but I got to touch on it. 9 out of 10, they've lost. How are you guys feeling? Is there a possibility that they'll even put themselves in a chance at the break to consider?
I'm not feeling it. I'm not sure any of us are really feeling it right now.
I'm the optimist of the group, Booney, as you know, and even I have trouble seeing the clearing in the skies right now. It's pretty gray and bleak for the San Diego Padres. The pitching is just not there this year. And if Nick Pivetta and Joe Musgrove don't come back, I don't think they can fix it at the trade deadline. It's what we feared. It happens to teams some years where you just have too many injuries and not enough depth. And I think that's where we're heading with the San Diego
Padres. The guys that are here are having down years. Just not what we've come to expect. Guys like, you know, Manny Machado is kind of turning it around. Jackson Merrill is not the Jackson Merrill we expected. Fernando Tatis Jr. didn't have a home run for 2.5 months of the season.
Yeah, it's dire, man. It's as dire as can be.
How's the fan? How's the temperature of the fans of San Diego? Rough?
Booney.
They want blood.
You got to listen every day. You got to listen every day.
They want blood, man. They want Stammen gone. Fine. They want Souza gone. Fine. They want everybody gone. They want Preller gone. They want Manny traded, Xander traded. To the moon, everybody. And it's hard, you know. It's this gig. I'm much better equipped to handle it than I was even 2 years ago. I've done a lot of work on my mental health in the last 2 years because it did affect me then. It really did. I would snap at my kids because the Padres lost. I'm like, well, that's stupid. Like, what? At the end of the day, it's an entertainment product. Like, I shouldn't be snapping at my kids because the baseball team lost and people are going to be pissy with me the next day.
But Booney, they care a lot more than when you were on the team for a year and you finished in third place and people just went to the game and went home. And
the fans,
the fans care way more than they used to.
Yeah, that's ultimately a good thing.
That's right. What you want.
Little Bob here. This summer, shop the latest small space solutions at Bob's Discount Furniture. From retro chic bedroom sets to stylish space-conscious Bob-o-pedic sofas, it's all at Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
You do. It is a great thing. And I've noticed that just going, you know, going down to Petco and watching it as a patron, it's like, it's different. They've done a really good job with the Padres in this city, the fan base. You're bringing in, it seems like now, when I first retired and came home, it seemed like nobody really cared about the Padres. It was fine. Yeah. It was, but you've got like young kids that, you know, aren't true baseball fans. They're walking around with Padre jerseys.
Oh yeah.
So exactly. I think they've done a great job. You pack that yard. It's one of the nicest ballparks in all of baseball. So yeah, we'll see. And I didn't want to talk about it too much because I know we'll be talking about it in the weeks to come. I'm interested in this, and then I'll let you guys go. I know you've had a long morning and now you're taping this, but the three of you have been together for a while, very successful, killing it in the San Diego area. Is it like a marriage? You guys got to show up. I know as a player, I had 24 teammates and I had to show up, and we could keep our distance, and you know, I loved all my guys, but we had times apart. You know, we play the game, we go home to our families, just like you guys do. But you guys are in a studio together, and I know you're friends and you respect each other. Is it like a marriage at times where it's like, I'm sick of seeing your face today? Or is it that good where it's just, hey, this is what we got?
We've all had different radio partners before, and you know, it's easy. I tell Benny all the time, and I make sure to tell him, like, you're my true radio soulmate. Like, straight up, the chemistry that we've developed over the years, I know what he's going to say before he's going to say it. I think he probably feels the same about me. Paulie is like the glue in the middle, you know, and I think there's just the thing that makes it hit home, I think, for the audience is like, I genuinely love them, like, as people. Like, I love their talents. They're both supremely talented at what they do, but they're just good people. And that is so rare in broadcasting. Like, I can't even tell you, Booney, how rare it is to have a good human being with faults and things that, you know, Ben makes me crazy sometimes, and I make him crazy, and Paulie makes me crazy, and I make him crazy. But they're genuinely good dudes. Like, they're good-hearted people, and that means everything.
In some ways, and don't take this the wrong way, it's more intimate than a marriage.
It is.
How many spouses out there do you actually sit and talk to the other person for 4 hours a day?
Really more about like four and a half, five, because of the time you get in pre and post.
Plus all the other things.
Five straight hours of just being there.
Yeah.
Today's six.
That's a lot of time to communicate with two other people, more than you're used to. And yeah, I think I know more about these guys than probably my own family members.
Yeah. No question.
Paul, in the day-to-day, give me a quick rundown. What do you do? It's okay, the show ends today. You go home. How are you getting ready for tomorrow's show? Do you guys have a text thread? Are you talking every night? All right.
The three of us are constantly texting, and you know, we'll send each other something on Instagram that we see that, hey, this is actually pretty funny. We could probably do something with this tomorrow. So we'll do that. Look, we work in sports radio, so for the most part, and it's sports radio with an emphasis on the Padres baseball. Padres baseball doesn't start until 6:40 tonight, so you can't do a whole lot of prep on the sports that haven't happened yet. So my day consists of, you know, collecting a few things story-wise, news-wise that we might get to tomorrow, and then it's really just kind of putting together a frame for the show, and then the three of us will get in around, you know, 5:15, 5:20 every morning and kind of put some final touches on the show. But I think we've gotten to the point where our show is a little bit formulaic, and that can be a good thing, and it can also be a bad thing. It can get, you can find yourself getting into a lull at times when it's just you're doing the same thing every day. So we try to break that up as much as we can.
Yeah, and I think you have to have a formula. You know, it's it'd be great if you could just wing it every day and be off the charts entertaining. I mean, I don't know who can do that. Maybe Vin Scully. That's about the only guy I know.
Yeah, just riff and vamp by himself for 4 hours.
I mean, if he didn't have a baseball game, even Vin might have struggled a little bit over the course of 3 hours. He had a baseball game to structure it all around.
And so it's you guys talking every night back and forth, getting it. Okay, now you're going to bed and you got to have an idea. Now you get to the yard, your yard, which is the office, the studio. And now you go over your final touches and you go, all right, this is what we got. We're going to hit this. Boom, boom, boom. We got a guest here, guest here, guest here. And it just goes off like clockwork.
It does. But it also, like, our morning, I always look at it as like you got to rev up the car on a cold morning. You know, you got to start the car, give it about 30 minutes, and then before you want to get in it. I spent some time on the East Coast. Nobody knows what I'm talking
cars
about here.
Cars just start, right?
Cars
right
just away, start in San Diego. But you want to warm that car up. For me, I don't even really like talking about the upcoming show. I'd say 99% of the time, Ben will just look at me for the opening segment, and I kind of run that and structure it myself. There's times, Booney, when the music is playing, I don't even know what I'm going to say yet. And I love that feeling of, like, without a net, like, all right, man, the curtain just dropped. What do you got? Be entertaining for, you know, 22 minutes, 25 minutes in the first break. And we almost never miss, knock on wood, like we almost never miss in that opening segment. Some days we do.
Part of it too is we'll start to like have something funny happen, or we'll start to talk about something funny, and then we'll just shut up. We'll say stop, save it for the air, because you can't recreate that authentic reaction twice.
The coolest part about these guys both, it's like Ben will, he'll look at me sometimes and goes, he'll like, his face will drop. He'll go, I've got something. And I'll go, all right, I can't wait to know what it is. And I will have no idea. And then he'll hit me with it and I'll be like, oh my God, you did that? Like what? And he doesn't tell me. He just surprises me with it. My natural reaction, anybody's natural reaction is always better. We don't plan. Don't tell our bosses. We don't plan a lot. Really. We are really like a band, like a jazz band.
Do you mean like last week when I dropped my hot dog on the ground at Wrigley Field?
And ate it.
I just decided to pick it up and eat it.
Off the ground.
Nobody was around.
Nobody was around.
You were by yourself and you chose to tell us that story.
He did not have to tell us.
Live on the air.
He ate it off the ground.
I would have done that.
Okay, good. Right. I'm not the only one. I mean, it's still a perfectly good hot dog.
Yeah, with feces on it from the ground.
Look reasonably clean. I'm going to eat that anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something I would do. And really wouldn't worry about if anybody saw me. And I'd, you know, pretend
you're
to
Brett
wipe.
Boone.
I'd pretend to wipe the dust off. And then I've had at it. You know, I listen to you guys. What I do, you know, because I do a bunch of different shows throughout the week. And I find it like it's kind of easier for me because, you know, I might use some of the same sentences, some of the same verbiage, but I'm thinking, well, it's kind of fresh for Atlanta because they didn't hear me use that over here, you know. But do you ever get that in your mind? Because I know I fight it on whether I'm doing the podcast, whether I'm doing a show, you know, it could be anywhere. It could be an Odyssey company, could be the Fan in New York. It could be an ESPN, an MLB hit. And sometimes when I'll get into, you know, explaining something. And I felt like I've explained this 1,000 times. And I start to question myself, like, I'm sick of hearing myself explain it.
Yep.
On the day-to-day basis, like you said, doing 4 hours a day to keep it fresh. And that's why I have a lot of respect for guys that do what you do. Because I'm like, you know, anybody thinks, oh, I could do that. I could get on the radio and do that. I could do anything. I have this knowledge. I can speak. I'm, you know, well-versed. But try doing it day after day after day. It's like doing a baseball game locally. If you're a Padre announcer, you got that same audience every single day. They heard that stupid story that was funny the first three times, 10 times later. Now you're doing the national and you're popping up and you're doing one game a week. Well, it's fresh. I got new
story. You're so dynamic. Yeah.
Right. It's tough doing it every day. And I know you fight it. All of you, you sit there in your head and you tell something. You're like, have I told this before? But I got to get through it because it's a good story. Do you guys fight with that on the daily?
Every day. I mean, but it, you know, for us, I think we have kind of a rule, at least I do. If I'm not feeling it, I'm just going to tell you I'm not feeling it. I stopped trying to be a sports radio host about 6 months into our show. And I said, I'm just going to be honest and I'm going to be vulnerable and I'm going to be honest. And that's what's worked. And like,
cause you were staying up and watching like Cleveland Cavaliers basketball on a Wednesday. Cause you're like, well, it's sports and I'm a sports radio host.
I have to do it. I have to be knowledgeable. And then I go, well, I don't even like the NBA. And then I realized I could just get on the radio and say, I don't even like the NBA. So no, I didn't. You asked me if I watched the game. I was like, nope, why not? Because I didn't want to. I was tired. I got a newborn, or I hate basketball, or like, I'm not a fan of this. Once I found I can just be who I authentically am. That's what's cut through for me, at least in my career, is being vulnerable, honest, and being, you know, being able to say, yeah, I watched the game for three innings and I turned it off because I was busy or they sucked and I didn't want to watch and I needed to protect my peace. And so like, I was just getting mad watching it. I decided to go out and throw the ball with my kids. Years ago, that would have bothered me. You know, I've just learned to be myself and hopefully that's good enough for people. And if it's not, you know, there's plenty of other options out there for you for sure. But like, it's great having a partner like Ben too, because I know he did stay up and watch the game. I know that. Like we complement each other. And I know that like,
he'll fill you in.
He'll fill me in 100%. Like you couldn't have two hims. You couldn't have two me's, right? This is why it's been the perfect marriage. It's the very, very much the odd couple scenario. I like sports, but I love radio. I love radio and I like sports. But I love the art of radio.
And I love sports and I like radio.
Exactly. Like it's a perfect combo. I love the art of entertaining. Yeah. And
I like sports and I like radio.
Paulie likes sports and likes radio. There you go.
Yeah.
So it's been a great combo.
Yeah. Well, guys, I appreciate you taking the time today, man. I think it's cool. Like I said, I love working with you guys.
Thank you, Booney.
To come on once a week. I think, you know, we have some pretty cool interviews and
we do.
We have a fun time. And I appreciate you guys. And I wish you all the best. You know, stay number one. I know you will. You've been doing a great job. You entertain these guys. I even listen once in a while. You can believe that. You know, the disdain that I have. I even pop into my boys and listen once in a while.
Thank you.
So I appreciate you guys taking the time today. I know it's been a long morning, but I appreciate it.
And I'll tell you this, just a compliment from us. When you first started on the air with us, it's been a while because you said, I want to get into broadcasting. And we were like, yeah, bro, come on anytime. We all grew up watching you and admiring you for sure. And to see, like, to listen to how great you are at it now after all these reps compared to where you were is crazy. Your stories every week are the best.
Well, you bring us credibility on our show because we're able to ask you, former big leaguer, about this in baseball.
Right.
Because we can speculate, but we weren't in the locker rooms and we weren't on the team planes. And we were
at fantasy camp,
like,
Booney, but that's about it. But like to see what you've built has been really impressive from our end too. So the fact that you wanted us on here is mind boggling and awesome. And you're doing a great job too. Your guests are second to none. Dusty Baker was phenomenal.
Well, they used to be. And then you had us on.
And then you had us on. Well, what a letdown right after Dusty. But just legendary interviews, man. So keep up the great work yourself.
I appreciate it, guys. And
all right, brother.
For all you guys out there, check it out, the podcast now. Check it out on YouTube. For those of you who download the podcast weekly, it's on the Odyssey app or wherever you download your podcast. Till next time, keep it here. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Booney.
Thanks, Booney.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
Looking for a simpler way to explore medical weight loss options? Orderly Meds connects you online with licensed healthcare providers so you can learn about GLP-1 treatment options from home. It's convenient, straightforward, and designed to fit your lifestyle. Get started today at orderlymeds.com/podcasts. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.